Members, please, everyone take your seats. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Please silence all electronic devices. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Ingolia.
Here.
Vice Chair Drake. Republican Committee Whip McFarland. Ranking Democratic Member Silvers, excused. Representatives, Barnaby.
Here.
Clemens.
Here.
Daly.
Here.
DeSegli.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Geller.
Here.
Grieco.
Here.
Haig is excused. Latvala.
Yes. Here.
Maggard.
Here.
McClure. Nixon is excused. Pomfroy, excused. Placon. Placencia.
Here.
Rommel is excused. Schoaf.
Here.
Thompson. Here. Tomko.
Here.
Wilhite.
Let the record reflect that a quorum is present. Members, we are here for a week 8 commerce meeting. You can blame it on Rep. Geller. He said he lobbied really, really hard for a week 8 meeting, said he did not have enough time to ask all the questions he wanted to ask weeks 1 through 7. So, Rep. Geller, we are succumbing to your wishes, so we're going to call this meeting to order. Members, today we're going to hear 4 bills. Let's jump straight into it. We're going to start off with PCS for House Bill 577 by Rep. Bartleman regarding tenant safety. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair. And thank you, Ranking Member, who not here yet. Okay. Thank you for allowing me to present House Bill 577. Mia Marcona was a beautiful 19-year-old woman. She had her whole life ahead of her. On September 24th, 2021, Mia returned to her locked apartment where police believe a maintenance worker was waiting for her. The medical examiner deemed there was some kind of assault, and we know that Mia was killed. This animal, despite having a criminal record, including felony charges, attained access to Mia's apartment through a master key. Her death puts a spotlight on problems with apartment safety and security. And this bill, although too late for Mia, aims to address these issues for 2 million renters in Florida. The PCS for CS House Bill 577, Mia's Law, number 1, extends the reasonable notice period an employee must notify a tenant before entering an apartment from 12 to 24 hours. Number 2, upon request, requires apartment complexes with 15 or more units to notify a tenant or prospective tenant in writing whether the operator requires any employees or contractors to undergo a background screening. Number 3, requires that they provide a list to the tenant of every employer or contractor who has access to a master key or individual unit keys upon request. This list must also be posted on the grounds or on its website. And number 4, it requires that they maintain a log for at least 1 year of all employees or contractors with access to a master key or individual unit keys and make this log accessible to law enforcement, tenants, and in discovery during civil action. An apartment complex must also provide DBPR with proof of compliance with all of these requirements during inspection. And that, Chair, is the bill.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions? Showing none, is there public testimony? Kelly Millett, Florida Apartment Association. You are recognized.
Book PA, I represent the Florida Apartment Association. I want to just talk briefly about the bill you have before you. And first, want to just let the sponsor know we appreciate her willingness to work with us on this issue. Certainly, we extend our sympathy to the Marcano family. And while we believe the goal of this legislation is good, which is to ensure that folks with access to apartment units are appropriately background screened and that people with previous convictions don't have access to background checks. I think there's a number of issues in the PCS before you that could cause significant compliance problems for housing providers as well as operational difficulties. For example, one of the things that you have in here is a requirement that we background check all our employees and also provide a list of all background checked contractors. Well, as you can imagine, many housing providers have a variety of different contractors, right, from lawn maintenance to potentially waste. We may not know what contractors do in terms of background check. In addition to that, while we believe it is appropriate for housing providers to determine who has access to units and to protect who has access to units, which as general practice we do, there's some difficulties in this bill in terms of talks about a master key. That term is not defined in the legislation. I guess, you know, sort of bottom line from our perspective is that we do support the legislation as introduced. This unfortunate version of this legislation, or unfortunately this version of legislation, causes some difficulty for us in terms of compliance, in terms of operations, that we just don't feel are something that generally housing providers can comply with. In addition to that, I know I touched briefly on the master key. It also requires us to have a list of everyone who has access to units or keys. That might change, right? If you're calling out a service provider to look at a unit and sort of repair something that's in a unit, that contractor, we may not know who that contractor is until they're on site, right? If you're calling a service provider, we might not know who that is on site. How could we potentially comply with that? Finally, if you're posting a list of everyone who might have access to a unit, I think that list could create a safety issue for those employees in that you're sort of advertising who has access to units for someone who would potentially want to have access to unit to either do the occupier of that unit harm or potentially, have any other, create any other issues inside that unit. So again, while we support the concept and what the representative is trying to accomplish, we do have some concerns with the legislation as drafted, as I've outlined. And thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I do have a question for you. The original version, I believe, required background checks. This version says that you just have to let the prospective tenant know if background checks are required in the status of the background checks, and if you require background checks of the contractors, and if so, what is the status of that? Am I misreading this, or from what you're saying, I'm not seeing that in the text.
So, Mr. Chairman, you're correct. This does not require the screen, but does require you to post a list of who that is. We believe as best practice, and that's, the bill has introduced required background screening of employees, so we believe that is an industry best practice, and that was what we were attempting in the original draft of the bill, to codify that industry best practice. But posting a list or saying what contractors may or may not be background checked, that might be difficult for housing providers, right? In other words, how would you know if your lawn maintenance company is background checking their employees?
Yeah, Ms. Millett, we're going through the language right now, I thought we're only posting, in this PCS, we're only posting those who have access to the master key, not necessarily the status of any background checks if or where it was performed. It's upon request of the tenant to disclose that information.
I agree with you. It is upon request of the tenant. But again, how would we necessarily know which contractors? Would we know if the lawn maintenance company does a background check of all their employees? Do they, you know, if you're asking for a list of contractors, you know, of which contractors provide background checks, that might be difficult in terms of compliance.
All right, we'll take your comments. Well, I don't see what you're saying, but we can go over that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate that.
Genesis Robinson, Equal Ground, a proponent of the bill. Showing no other public testimony, members, we are in debate. In debate on the bill before us. Showing no debate, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for asking those important questions. I also prefer requiring mandatory background checks on all employees, but that is not the bill before us. This bill is allowing for informed consumer choice. does not require background screenings, but it does allow the consumer to understand what's going on. So, but I'm committed to sitting down with the Apartment Association once again to go over this bill. So I just want to use my time right now to thank Chair Rommel, who actually got me through my first committee, Chair Grawl, Chair Ignolia, and all the staff who has had their fingerprint on this bill. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank Representative Mariano, who is my angel behind the scenes, who has been working with me every step of the way on this bill. And you don't, you know, people like to frame us as always working against each other, but really when it's for a good cause and something like this, everyone comes to the table. And my prime co-chair, Plakin, is not here, but I want to thank him as well. And so I'm committed to continue to work on this bill, and I appreciate staff and all of your efforts in getting us on this late committee agenda. Thank you so much, Chair.
Having closed on the bill, the question now occurs on PCS for House Bill 577. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Ignolia?
Yes.
Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Whip McFarland? Ranking Democratic Member Silvers is excused. Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Clemens? Daly?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig is excused. Latvala?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey is excused. Plakin? Placencia?
Yes.
Rommel is excused. Schoaf?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Tomko? Will Height? The bill passes.
Members, by your vote, show that PCS for House Bill 577 reported favorably. Bartlemy, good job. Thank you for being tenacious on this issue. Okay, members, we're going to move on to House Bill 1419 by Rep. Mariano regarding financial assistance for municipal solid waste to energy facilities. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Municipal solid waste to energy facilities provide numerous benefits to Florida and its local communities. It's estimated that these facilities can reduce landfill volume by about 87%, leaving behind a minimal amount of ash and allowing us to power our cities and counties with renewable energy. In order to incentivize these facilities to produce renewable energy, this bill establishes the Municipal Solid Waste to Energy Grant Program. Under the program, there are two grants. The first one is the Financial Assistance Grant that provides funding to facilities at 2 cents per kilowatt hour of electricity, helping to fill the gap in payments after the current power purchase agreements expire, and the Incentive Grant that will provide facilities matching funds on a dollar-for-dollar basis to assist with the planning and design for constructing, upgrading, or expanding municipal solid-to-waste energy facilities. The bill appropriates recurring funds from general revenue funds to DACs for the 2022-2023 fiscal year as follows: $100 million to fund the grant program and $149,000 for the staff. Additionally, the bill appropriates $10,000 in non-recurring funds from general revenue for administration expenses. The bill provides that the allocated funds, which are not dispersed by the end of the fiscal year, may be carried forward up to 5 years. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions? Rep. Maggart, any questions?
Thank you, Rep. Mariano. On the required IOU purchases from the qualified facilities, how will that work? Because I know this has been a sticky mess in the past. So how is the facility like Duke or Florida Power? It says a required make a cost, so that means that we'll take Pasco, right? So Pasco, they have to negotiate a rate, a buyback rate, right? So how was that mandated in your required purchases, please?
Rep. Mariano.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure if I fully understand your question, but the impetus for this is under the current power purchase agreement, their avoided costs was much higher because they were expecting to build coal factories, for example, whereas now when these power purchase agreements expire, that avoided cost is going to go down and the rates will be higher. So this bill is to step in to try to fill that gap once those agreements expire, so that way these facilities can keep operating the way they are now.
Looks like a follow-up.
Okay, I'll catch you.
You good?
Yeah.
Any other questions? Showing no further questions, No public testimony. Members, we are in debate. In debate on the bill before show, no debate. You are recognized to close.
Waive close, Chair.
Having waived close, question hour occurs on House Bill 1419. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Angolia.
Yes.
Vice Chair Drake.
Yes.
Republican Committee Whip McFarland.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers is excused. Representatives Barnaby.
Yes.
Clemens. Daly.
Yes.
DeSegli.
Yes.
Fabricio.
Yes.
Geller.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Haig is excused. Latvala.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
McClure.
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umfroy is excused. Flaken. Placencia.
Yes.
Rommel is excused. Schoaf. Thompson. Tomko.
Yes.
Will Height.
The bill passes, sir. Members, by your vote, show that House Bill 1419 reported favorably.
Thank you, Chair.
Members, we're going to go into PCS for House Bill 1543 by Rep. Tomko regarding broadband infrastructure. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. PCS for House Bill 1543 allows eligible applicants to have pole replacement costs reimbursed by the Office of Broadband within DEO. It also requires the Office of Broadband to publish an annual report listing all applications received, amounts awarded, and the impact on availability of broadband service. Finally, it requires DEO to adopt implementing rules, and that is the PCS.
Having explained to PCS members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions? Showing none, we do have some public testimony. Chris Doolin, Small County Coalition, you are recognized.
Thank you, sir. Chris Doolin with the Small County Coalition. I was going to just waive, but we've discussed this quite a bit in previous committees, and I want to thank Representative Tomko. This gets us closer, if not where we need to be right now. We've raised concerns about the coordination with DEO, and what this PCS does, it allows for competition, which we've asked for. It avoids duplication of funding in areas that are already funded. It clearly targets unserved areas, and it requires substantial documentation for the provider to show where they're going to be, and it also sets the parameters that allows DEO to implement the program. So I want to thank you for putting this forward, and we appreciate what you've done. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Jeff Scala, Florida Association of Counties. Waiving in support, thank you. Karen Mazzola, Florida PTA. Waiving in support, showing no further public testimony. Members, we are in debate. In debate on the bill before us. Showing no debate, Rep. Tomko, you are recognized to close on the PCS.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll waive close.
Having waived close, question hour occurs on PCS for House Bill 1543. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Angolia.
Yes.
Vice Chair Drake.
Yes.
Republican Committee Whip McFarland.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers is excused. Representatives Barnaby.
Yes.
Clemens. Daly.
Yes.
DeSegli.
Yes.
Fabricio.
Yes.
Geller.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Haig is excused. Latvala.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
McClure.
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umfroy is excused. Flaken. Placencia.
Yes.
Rommel is excused. Schoaf. Thompson. Tomko.
Yes.
Will Height.
Members, by your vote, show that PCS for House Bill 1543 reported favorably. Rep. Tomko, you are recognized to explain PCS for House Bill 1545.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. This PCS creates a trust fund to receive monies from various sources to fund reimbursement of pole replacements under House Bill 1543, and it also conforms to the PCS that we just heard.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions of the bill sponsor? Showing none, we do have public testimony. Karen Mazzola, Florida PTA, waiving in support. Showing no further public testimony, members, we are in debate. Showing no debate, you are recognized to close.
Wave close.
Having waived close, question now recurs on PCS for House Bill 1545. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Engolia.
Yes.
Vice Chair Drake.
Yes.
Republican Committee Whip McFarland.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers is excused. Representatives Barnaby. Yes. Clemens. Daly.
Yes.
DeSegli.
Yes.
Fabricio.
Yes.
Geller.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Haig is excused. Latvala.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
McClure.
Yes.
Nixon is excused. Umphrey, excused. Plakin. Placencia.
Yes.
Rommel is excused. Schoaf. Thompson.
Yes.
Tomko.
Yes.
Wilhite.
Members, by your vote, show that PCS for House Bill 1445 reported favorably. Members, I do want to say that I am a little upset that he dragged us here for week 8 and he did not ask one single question. Thank you, Rep. Geller. That should be it for Commerce meeting for this session. I want to thank everybody, thank staff, and thank all of you for a great session. We did a lot of great work here today. So if there is no further business, Rep. Daly moves that we adjourn without objection. The motion passes. We are adjourned.